Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Anita Marks with you, 98.7 ESPN, hour two. Like I said, we're going to switch gears here momentarily and talk some NFL, get you ready. I know we're a month away, but we've got pro days happening. Also, I was looking, there's a lot of really good free agents still available on the free agent market. I'll share that with you as well. Win totals came out for the Giants and the Jets. The Giants 6.5, the Jets 9.5. Wow. Uber disrespect for the Giants, although Tom and Harvey, our producers, disagree with me, which was surprising when we started the show. So a lot to dive into there. 800-919-3776. Let's go. Is it Jacques? Jacques? Like Jacques Cousteau in Rockland City?
How you doing, Anita? Yes, it's Jacques, as in Jacques Cousteau in Rockland County. Yeah, how you doing?
So time out. How many millennials do you feel have no idea who we're talking about?
Oh, probably none, because you know the Jacques Cousteau is so old school. You feel me? He's like a little bit of pastime. So yeah, you'd have to find another Jacques to familiarize with the younger generation.
I'm trying to think how he passed. Did he have a heart attack or something while he was underwater or something? I'm trying to think like how he passed away. But I remember, I remember as a child, I found him to be so fascinating. I loved all his expeditions. He was awesome. But anyway, I digress. You want to talk about the Knicks? What you got?
So yeah, I heard you talking about the Knicks and the potential starting lineup. Yeah, mm-hmm. Everyone was healthy. And just like I was telling the producer on the phone, I'm not 100% on Randall, so I can't really count him because the Knicks hasn't given us anything that proves that he's going to be healthy at all. And me, from recency, I got into a car accident last year, and I injured my shoulder bad, and I just know the recovery. I didn't get surgery, but I know the recovery process. And even after like 3 months, you know, I wasn't able to do a lot. I was, you know, it wasn't painful or anything, but I wasn't able to do a lot in regards to movement. And he's, you know, this is pro basketball. These guys are going to slap your shoulders. Julius has to lead with his right shoulder it's going to change his entire game. So I can't really count on Julius. So my starting lineup would definitely be Brunson, of course, Devo, OG, Precious, and Iheart. You know, that's the way I'd go. Have Mitch come off the bench with the rest of the squad and let it go from there. I don't know.
So I understand, and don't go anywhere. I want to have this conversation with you. I understand what you're saying because we haven't seen Randall for a while. But again, reports are back in action on the 5th, giving him 6 games to ramp up. You know, let's just say, let's say he comes back and he's just as good as ever, right?
Oh, I mean, then of course he's in the starting
right.
lineup.
That's a no-brainer. So you're saying right now, have him come off the bench because he's been on the shelf for quite a while.
I mean, he's been on the shelf for quite a while. And Anita, we just don't know. And his type of game, his style of game, it just goes against everything that, you know, as a person that you can see is his right shoulder. He's left-handed. He drives with his right, leading his right shoulder. He bumps. He won't be able to get dirty and in rebounding situations. You know, the only way I could see him surviving is just being a spot up shooter, you know, on the outside and just shooting. Because I don't see how everything else is going to work. And these are professionals, Anita. You know, they know you have an injury. Oh, my bad. You understand? Elbow, shoulder. You understand? Like, you feel me? So. And you know we're getting into grind time. You know this is playoffs coming up, and let's say he plays in the playoffs. Come on, man! Like these coaches, they know Julius Randle is a factor. So if we know that he has an injury, you know, I mean, you remember the Karate Kid? Sweep the leg. let's go for it. You're saying they're going to sweep the leg every time. So I can't count on Julius. I just can't count on Julius. The style of play I know he's successful at, and being successful in the situation with such a short period of time, because I had an injury, like I said, a shoulder injury, and after 3 months, I wasn't able to do a lot. So I don't believe that under the circumstances with these pros and the possibility, his style of play and people attacking his shoulder, that he'll last. And that's just my opinion. So I don't want to...
I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. And it's a solid concern. Appreciate the phone call. Wax on, wax off, Jacques. Which, by the way, our producer Tom just texted me. So Jacques Cousteau died of a heart attack on June 25th, 1997, 2 weeks after his 87th birthday. Here's the thing. Like, I can't remember phone numbers. How do I remember that Jacques Cousteau died of a heart attack? Isn't it weird how our minds work and how our brain remembers things? Like where did I grab that from? I have no idea.
Was it on Jeopardy once or twice? If you're a fan of that show, like I don't know where you pulled that one from, Anita.
I don't know. Out of my behind. I really don't. And by the way, that's a serious thing. Not being able to remember phone numbers. Because we're now in a day and age where, right, we just grab our phone and we go to the name and we push dial. And so what happens if there's some type of emergency and you don't have your phone? So just, and I'm saying this too, like, you guys, the eclipse, are you guys following the whole eclipse situation that's going to be happening next Monday?
Not at all.
On the 8th? You're not? You haven't? Okay. So the path of totality, Have you heard the warnings in regard to, you know, all that potentially could happen on that Monday?
No, I have not.
By the way, Jacques called back and said that Cousteau's death was on his birthday.
Stop it.
Yeah, he just called me right now.
Stop.
Well, I guess Wikipedia lied.
How weird is this? This has gotten uber weird. So, all right. So, and again, I know this is a sports show, but just, you know, I've been following this. So next, do you know that we have an eclipse next Monday? Did you at least know that, Tom?
I knew of the eclipse, but I didn't know why people were making a big deal of it. And quite frankly, I haven't paid any attention to it.
So this is going to be the eclipse of all eclipses. This eclipse is going to last 2 times longer than the normal eclipse. And if you go online and you'll see, it's called the path of totality. And it's the path where the sun and the moon are going to align. And it starts like somewhere in Texas. It goes across the country and it hits kind of like northern New York, like the Albany area. So, but what's going to happen is that there's going to be millions of people that are going to be fleeing, like driving, congregating to witness this eclipse, where we potentially could have some issues, cell phone issues, electricity issues. Like, there's going to be so many people in such a small area of the country that it really can cause some havoc. So I'm just be ready. Make sure your refrigerator is full. Make sure you have a ton of toilet paper. Make sure you have a ton of water. Make sure your cell phone is charged. And more importantly, make sure you write down phone numbers of people that you need to contact, however that would be possible. If our cell phones go out, you know, I don't have a landline anymore, but maybe there are people out there who have a landline. So just be ready. And another thing that I think is uber, uber important and not enough people do is that if there's ever a state of emergency and you can't get a hold of your loved ones, have a plan with your family, right? Like, hey, if our cell phones are down and I can't reach you, and things are, you know, something happens and it's mass hysteria, have a plan where you know you're going to meet your family here, right? So that if you can't communicate with anyone in your family, at least you've got a meeting spot. And I just, you know, in talking to a number of my friends, not enough people have that. and talk to your children, let them know. So, anyway, you know, it could be much ado about nothing, and I could be blowing this way out of proportion, but we just never know. And Monday is going to be really, really insane. Also, if you could stay home and work from home on Monday, I would recommend that as well. 800-919-3, not this Monday, not tomorrow, but the following, on April 8th. Just FYI. We come back. Let's definitely switch gears. Let's talk some football. Let's get ready for Steve Verderosa to join us in about 15 minutes right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Anita Marks with you on this Easter Sunday. Happy Easter to everybody out there. Steve Verderosa is going to be joining us in about 10 minutes. Excited to get him on the program. Yes, for all the people out there who hit me up on Twitter going, ooh, the Drake May hour. Yeah, well, it might be the Drake May 15 minutes. Okay. It just might be. So deal with it. And by the way, Giants fans, Drake May might be your starting quarterback. Not this year, next year. Maybe for the next decade, starting next year, not this year. So if that materializes, you can thank me later. Okay. So there's that. Did you guys see this? The Pro Football Network came out with a list of head coaches ranking. So number one, they have Andy Reid.
The obvious. No
surprise there, right? Would you be surprised if I told you that Sean McVay is at two?
Not necessarily.
That would not. I'd be all for that at two.
He's 70-44 with a 609 winning percentage. Kyle Shanahan at three, which I disagree with.
Are you just being a Kyle Shanahan hater, or do you have a reason for this?
Well,
who do you have at three?
Well, number one, he single-handedly gave the Patriots a Super Bowl when he was the offensive coordinator for Atlanta,
which has nothing to do with him being a head coach
or being number three. So what else is it?
The debacle in overtime. How do you not educate your players going into a Super Bowl for them to know exactly how overtime is going to work?
I'll give you
so,
that.
Have you guys gone back and like heard the video, the commentary, the comments? So Kansas City players were walking up and down, like knowing the rule. Hey, you know, even Travis Kelce's walking up and down going, remember, blah, 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 blah. Like, this is what happens in overtime. And then they were shocked at Kyle and them deciding to take the ball. Or I'm sorry, not taking the ball and giving the ball to the Kansas City Chiefs first. And meanwhile, you look at, you listen to the commentary of what's going on the sideline for the 49ers, and they're like, wait a minute, what? How does this work? I don't understand. Like, how do you not educate your players prior to a Super Bowl in regard to all the elements of the game? And, oh, by the way, Kyle Shanahan was single-handedly the one that gave up all those draft picks for Trey Lance. He was adamant. That's who he wanted. He wanted Trey Lance.
Turned out
all right.
How
did that work out? He's holding a clipboard now in Dallas.
Yeah, it still turned out all right for the 49ers.
Yeah, it's not his problem anymore.
Okay, I'm not going to put him at 3. I'm not saying put him at 32, but I'm not putting him at 3. John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin. Now these are John Harbaugh comes at 4, Tomlin comes in at 5. I'll put both of them above him.
There's one that stuns me right away in this list.
Have the list up as well?
I have the list. Pro Football Network has it. I'm stunned by this one here. This one after 5.
Yeah, so this is funny, right? So they have Jim Harbaugh at 6.
Jim Harbaugh at 6.
Well, let's keep in mind, you know, he was the coach of the 49ers way back.
Was.
And he did win a Super Bowl for them. So,
he did?
But I'm with you. Oh, I'm sorry. He did not win a Super Bowl. He took them to a Super Bowl. The Baltimore Ravens won. He did not win a Super Bowl, but he took them to a Super Bowl. I disagree with this as well. There's no way that I would put Jim Harbaugh at 6.
No.
Matt LaFleur at 7. Sean Payton at 8.
Sean Payton at 8.
Even then, that's a stretch.
I would put Sean Payton above Jim Harbaugh and Matt LaFleur. Oh, I would.
No. No chance.
Dan Campbell at 9. I love Dan Campbell.
Based on last season, I'd put Dan Campbell ahead of Sean Payton and Matt LaFleur. Maybe not Matt LaFleur as much, but certainly Jim Harbaugh and Sean Payton, I would.
I don't understand. What's your beef with Sean Payton? He was uber dominant with the Saints.
He won one Super Bowl, and then what else did they do? They had a little bit of playoff success, I'll give you that. And I'm not saying he's a bad coach, but look at what he's done with Denver so far. It's the same thing as Jim Harbaugh. He walked into
a dumpster fire, Tom. An absolute dumpster fire, and he was handed a quarterback that doesn't fit his system.
And he's handed huge money, and does it look like it's going to get any better under him?
You got to give him time to get out of that dumpster fire.
Well, okay,
let's just see what he could, like the personnel that he had there. You got to give him time.
Okay, so then here's the theory we have here. If you didn't like the quarterback that was in the system, then you should have gotten rid of said quarterback when you got to Denver.
They couldn't because of the deal. It's very similar to what the Giants are going through right now. If the reports are accurate with Rich Eisen and the front office is done with Daniel Jones, I'm sure they wish if those reports are true. I'm not saying that they are, but this is what Rich Eisen is reporting. Then I'm sure that they'd want to unleash Daniel Jones this year. They can't. The hit that they take, dead cap space, all that, it's too much.
And it's too much for Denver. Look at how much they have to pay Russell Wilson, how much it's going to cost them.
Yeah, but I think after last year, like I think Sean was like, enough is enough.
They're going to be so bad this year. By the way, do you know who's not on this list?
Well, Mike McDaniel at 10, Stefanski at 11, which I think that's too low. Zach Taylor with Cincinnati at 12. D'Amico Ryans at 13. Okay. Really impressive first year in Houston. Sean McDermott at 14. Doug Peterson at 15. And then we have Nick Sirianni. I would disagree with that. I'm not a fan of Sirianni.
I'd put
Kevin O'Connell at 17. Mike McCarthy at 18. Nope, not for me. I would not have him that far. Shane Steichen at 19. I'm a big Steichen fan. I think he belongs above that. Dan Quinn at 20. I think he belongs above that. Todd Bowles at 21. All right. And Brian Daboll of your New York Giants comes in at 22. Raheem Morris at 23, now head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Eberflus, 24 with the Chicago Bears. Jury's still out for me in regard to him. Antonio Pierce at 25 with the Raiders. Love what he did coming in midseason last year. Curious how what he's going to do the next few years. Gannon at 26 and Robert Saleh sitting there at 27 with the Jets. Dennis Allen at 28. And then they have a bunch of first-year coaches. Brian Callahan, Canales with the Carolina Panthers, Jared Mayo, and Mike McDonald with the Seattle Seahawks. Who's not on here?
No, I was looking for Robert Saleh. He's way down here.
Yeah, he's way down there at 27.
Only Dennis Allen is apparently worse.
So There's that. Quick break. We come back. We'll hear from Steve Verderosa. Let's talk some May and, of course, the slew of pro days that have taken place this last week plus. Next here on 98.7 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Anita Marks with you here on 98.7 ESPN. We are working on getting Steve Verderosa on the show. It is Easter. I don't know, maybe he's still at church. But as soon as we do get him, we will pipe him through as quickly as possible. So just FYI, well, actually, let's go to Jose first, since he's been holding on through the break, and then we'll dive into some draft talk. So, Jose, welcome in.
Hey, good morning, Anita. Shout out to the company. How are you doing?
Great, thank you. So just out of curiosity, Jose, how many company people do you think will be in attendance on Cinco de Mayo to cheer on Rick and Dave? How many people do you think are going to attend that?
Oh, you know what? I'm really, because my hope is it should be definitely more within more. I'm definitely expecting more than 20 to 30 people. Like, I'm definitely expecting that. Oh, yeah, because we are fanatics for Rick and Dave. We love their show in the morning. Mm-hmm. And we always support the station, so you always see, you know, some of our pictures and, you know, in our Twitter pages and our Instagrams that we're always going, whether it's Barton Hahn or the Michael K. Show or any other show we're trying to go out and see. And, you know, I'm always, you know, down for a good sporting event where I get to, you know, hang out with the guys that I listen to on a daily basis, you know, because I do listen to the station a lot. So this is, I definitely expect a lot of people to be there.
Wow.
20 to 30. Oh, definitely. And happy Easter to everyone out there. Just wanted to throw that out there. And also, as far as, you know, the sports take, you know, just because, you know, we're in a sports, you know, talk show. I do agree, you know, because the massive mistake with Trey Lance, you know, should be left to be desired. But I also think that, you know, from a coaching standpoint, it also says a lot when you're willing to admit that you made a mistake, because we saw hindsight on, you know, in this local market where an organization didn't admit that they made the mistake, and they kind of, you know, pounded, you know, that, you know, insanity wall, you know, and pretty much tortured us fans for, you know, 3 years. So I kind of, you know, and, you know, there were plenty of times, you know, because there were plenty of, you know, narratives like you can't draft a quarterback after you drafted your franchise quarterback. Like, that's going to set a bad precedent. And they ended up using the Mr. Irrelevant pick on a quarterback. So I wanted to say that. Thank you, guys.
In regard to Kyle Shanahan, they gave up the world to move up. And of course, in the 11th hour, decided to go with Trey Lance. And of course, it didn't work out. He's now the backup quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, but found lightning in a bottle and really a diamond in the rough with why am I drawing a blank? Quarterback for the 49ers. Yeah, Brock Purdy. So that really, really saved him and saved Lynch. And they actually, both of them got contract extensions this past year. Or I think Lynch got a contract extension this year. But anyway, so as we get closer to the draft, you have all three quarterbacks now that have had their pro days. Drake May had his on Thursday. And he had about 60 plays scripted. And so, and this is the feedback that I have gotten from a number of scouts that were there who felt that, you know, typically a player typically has about 50 throws scripted. The fact that he had 60, they felt that it was too long. And also the pace of how he was throwing, the rapid fire, the pace was too quick. And that's not on him. That's really on the people, the organization, that you hire, that these guys hire to put a script together to perform. I was told he had three unbelievable deep balls that just were jaw-dropping and had anywhere between four to five throws that scouts did not like. So, but compared to Caleb, who had 50 throws, and he had about 10 plus throws that scouts did not like. So in talking to the scouts that attended all three, and also I spoke to a few scouts that only attended two, and that was Drake's and Caleb's, unanimous, everybody told me that Drake actually had, even though he threw more and the pace, the rapid fire pace did not benefit him because he looked winded at the end, still, at the end of the day, he had the better pro day. But again, we're hoping to get Steve Rotarosa on the program because he was there, boots on the ground, and saw it firsthand. So obviously, he could explain what he saw and what other scouts that he had spoken to have gathered in regard to all three of these quarterbacks. But looking where it stands right now, with the expectation of how this draft is going to unfold, the Chicago Bears, again, with the number one pick via Carolina, more than likely is going to take Caleb Williams. Number two, Washington. Now, this is interesting. There's a number of mock drafts out there, and some have even the Washington Commanders taking J.J. McCarthy. Here's my problem with J.J. McCarthy. And I'm not saying he's going to be a bad NFL quarterback, but he's definitely coming in with the most experience, right? He's got the most starts of let's say, all four quarterbacks, right? And they're all four expected to go in the first round, okay? They're all four expected to go in the first round. Out of the four, he definitely has the most experience in college. But at the same time, he's coming in, working in a Michigan system that is run first, run heavy. So there really wasn't a lot that was demanded of him. It's not like there was a game where they passed the ball 70-80% of the time. You know, this Michigan was all about running the football. And by the way, this is why I do believe that we're going to see Justin Herbert have arguably one of the best seasons he's had all season, is because in previous years, even though they had Eckler back there, it was all about the pass and not enough running. I'm not saying that it's going to be all running. You're not going to do that when you've got Justin Herbert as your quarterback. But I think the bigger commitment to running the football Harbaugh is going to bring to the Chargers, I think, is ultimately going to really help Justin Herbert, play action, all the things. So the offense that J.J. McCarthy played in Michigan doesn't necessarily translate to me extremely well and what is going to be expected of him in the NFL. So I personally do not have J.J. McCarthy as my top three quarterback, but there are some mock drafts out there that actually have him going number two overall to Washington. Pretty interesting. And then, of course, so I think it's going to come down to whether Washington does take Drake May or Jaden Daniels. I think it'll be one of them. I think whoever does not go will be the third quarterback taken. I think, and also here's another thing. I think out of all these quarterbacks, I think Jaden Daniels might have the highest ceiling, potentially. Can he reach it? Big question mark. But for me, again, Drake May checks all the boxes here. And I know I say this each and every show. If it's me, I'm taking Drake May as my number one quarterback. I'm doing everything and anything I can to get up in the draft and get him. The number of teams out there that will be in the market for quarterbacks, yes, the Bears, yes, the Washington Commanders, yes, the Patriots, and then, of course, the Minnesota Vikings looking to trade up. What do the Chargers do, right? Are the Chargers a potential landing spot for a team to trade up and go and get a quarterback? You know, there's some talk and speculation that even though the Patriots are in the market for a quarterback, that they'd be willing to trade out of the three, maybe if they are high on J.J. McCarthy. That would be an interesting landing spot. What about the Giants? If you do follow Jordan Renan, of course, we know we have him on the show quite frequently. He covers the Giants. He's got an interesting column out saying with all the time and effort that the Giants are spending evaluating quarterbacks, the Giants are definitely going to take a quarterback. Are they going to take a quarterback in the first round? I do believe that they will. There's also reports out there that, you know, because you have the owner meetings that are taking place. And of course, John Mara is speaking to the media. John Mara is okay. He's open to taking a quarterback in the first round. I think the Giants do take a quarterback. The question mark is which one do they take? There's a number of mock drafts out there that do have the Giants taking a wide receiver. Let's go to Artie. Artie, welcome in.
Hey, Anita. Happy Easter. Good morning.
So same to you. Thank you.
I'm thinking about, so what happens with the Jets? This is so stupid, right? But what happens with the Jets if it doesn't work, right? With
what do you Rogers? Mean if it doesn't work?
Like, what do you mean if it doesn't work? We don't win the division. We make the playoffs and out in the first round, or Rodgers gets hurt or something like that. And then we have to go get looking for another quarterback. And I'm sitting there, and there's teams that found their quarterback in the draft, like the Texans, and they're good. The Packers found their quarterback in the draft. They're good, right? But for the most part, they're drafting a quarterback. They're finding out it's not the guy, and then they get rid of him. So instead of drafting a quarterback, there's guys out there in free agency every year. Tampa Bay found their quarterback, just like a throw-in. So I'm arguing, who's got a better chance now? A team like the Chargers, who have to pay their quarterback $40 million, or Tampa, who's paying their quarterback $20 million, and, okay, yeah, Herbert's a better quarterback, but you could argue that a team that has to pay their quarterback $20 million has a better chance to be successful. The other thing, too, is when was the last time a defensive-minded quarterback won the Super Bowl?
And that's you mean a defensive-minded head coach?
Head coach, yeah. Because Bowles won the Super Bowl as a defensive coordinator. He didn't win it as a head coach. I think the next move, when Sally goes, I think it's important that you get an offensive-minded head coach. And I think that's where
you're already ushering Sala to the door, Artie?
Yeah, because I think it's kind of like a win or bust type of thing, Anita. And, like, it's just, I don't know, more than not, as a Jet fan, we've had teams that we expected to make the playoffs, and it just, for whatever reason, didn't work out. I think this is the best team that we've had since the team that's won the Super Bowl. I even think they're better than the Parcells' teams, the Rex's teams, talent-wise. But for whatever reason, it just don't. I'll give you an example. So they made a rule on special teams, right? Then there's going to be more kickoffs. I just find a way that the Jets are going to lose games on that rule. I don't know why. I just have a feeling that coaching-wise, we're a step behind everybody else. All right. Thanks, Anita. I appreciate the call.
You got it. Over-under win totals came out. The Jets sitting at 9.5. The Giants at 6.5. So you know, obviously that 9.5 is riding on whether or not Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy. He will be, I want to say he's going to be 41 in December, if I remember correctly. Quick break. We come back. We'll take your calls. 800-919-3776. Giants fans, what would you like to see your Giants do in this draft? Also, very interesting, another article came out in regard to the Eagles talking about why they felt it was okay to overpay for Saquon Barkley, and also why the Giants did not trade Saquon Barkley at the trade deadline. I'll share that with you next when we get back here on 98.7 ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
We're hearing this type of NFL music this time of year, but we do have Steve Verderosa joining us. Former Giant scout, attended the Drake May Pro Day on Thursday. Steve, good morning. Happy Easter. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Sorry I'm late.
That's okay. Hey, listen, as long as you're here, that's all that matters. Let's dive right into it. You were boots on the ground, eyes and ears. We both are extremely high on Drake May, but you know, you are always brutally honest when it comes to your evaluation. One thing that I really, you know, respect about you, Steve. So with that being said, kind of break it down for us. I mean, this is a quarterback that potentially could be a Giant come the end of April. What can you tell us about his pro day?
Some of the things about that he did were unbelievably impressive. There were 70 scripted throws. I thought that was too many. I've been to so many of those. 50 is plenty. And what happened in the beginning was, I think he was amped up. I think the receivers were amped up. And the guy that was running the drill for him, I think they got ahead of themselves. And the pace was just frantic in the beginning. And I could see he was getting a little winded because they were going rapid fire. And he had a few out throws that got away from him, which he didn't like. I was always been the proponent of, if you're doing a pro day with a quarterback like that and if they throw 50 passes, they should be 50 perfect balls. There's no pass rush. You're not in pads. You're with familiar receivers and you're in an indoor controlled environment. So if a guy is going to be elite like that, you really want to see them almost in a perfect condition. So that was a little disappointing. But then they calmed down, they slowed the pace down, and as it went on, he was unbelievably impressive. He made three deep ball throws that kind of took your breath away. And what you really liked about it was more of a scripted pro-style approach with him taking snaps under center and some rollouts, the way controlled rollouts, and then the route tree that you don't see from a lot of places. So you really like that about him. Then at the end of the workout, they moved into the red zone, or as Coach Coughlin used to call it, the green zone. So it's the compressed field, and his throws down there were just spot on. So overall, an A. Would have liked to seen an A++, but I'll take the A. He's a really, really fine young man. So you can see he was a little hard on himself, a little body language in the beginning because he missed the fact that he missed a couple of those throws. But overall, it was impressive. And when you count the warm-ups, the pat-and-go exercise, he threw 90 balls, which is too many. So I think they need to scale that back. I'm not sure if he's going to have another workout or a private workout for somebody. But just a little nugget of information, which I thought was very cool and spoke volumes about the young man. So he has this workout. He's really lathered up. He throws 90 balls. And the next day, another club had a private workout for Dez Watkins, the receiver. And Drake said, hey, you need me to throw for you? And the receiver first says, wow, man, I mean, you just went yesterday. That's okay. You helped me out. I'm going to help you out. So he threw the private workout the next day for the receiver. So that tells you a lot about the young man. And he's big. He's got the stature you're looking for. The arm strength's impressive. The movement skills. To me, he's the total package. So if somebody needs a quarterback, don't hesitate to pull the trigger.
So you, now Caleb and Jaden Daniels, all three of them now have had their pro day. I know you were only able to attend Drake Mays, but I know you spoke to a number of scouts who were in attendance to Drake Mays that also were at Caleb and Jaden Daniels. So where does Drake Mays pro day rank in regard to the other two?
Yeah, some mixed reviews about Caleb Williams. Most of the guys I talked to that I know for a long time that I have a lot of respect for, they were they're very, very high on him. As I told you the other day, I promised you that I would do my film evaluation on him. So I finished watching Utah, Notre Dame, Oregon, and Washington State. And there's no question he has talent. There's no question that his movement skills and his ability to improvise, everybody likes. But the inaccuracies that I saw on all four tapes, throws that are makeable throws that you would hope that, forget about an elite quarterback, just your guy would make, he missed a lot of throws. Now, granted, I have never seen him live, but seen him a lot when he was at Oklahoma and on TV, which is can be dangerous. But just watching the coach's tape, the throwing motion, I hear people talking about how fast his release is. He has a quick release, but when your feet are going in one direction, your hip is another direction, and your arm is all different angles, it just leads to a lot of inaccuracy. And I think he just tried to make too many plays that aren't there. Some of the decision making, I thought the Notre Dame game was a poor game overall. He has movement skills, and I think he looks like a quicker than fast player. I'm not sure what he's ever going to run, but he's no blazer like Jaden Daniels is. To be quite honest, watching those four tapes and analyzing all the throws, it was disappointing for a guy that has so much hype. And I think if there was not much hype about him, you'd say, yeah, that's a good prospect. But when I hear people saying he's the best they've ever seen, he's the next Mahomes, I think that's just a recipe for disaster and a poor handle to put on any young man. That's just to me, not right. So I'm not that high on him. I've seen a lot of other quarterbacks on tape over my 33 years that I would grade a lot higher than that young man. And that's not saying he's not going to be a good player, but to see a savior of a franchise, I'll be shocked. You know, and a lot of times when you're in a meeting and you have a difference of opinion than everybody else, you got to stick to your guns. To me, I don't see an elite player. He's going to have to be in the right situation. And certainly Chicago is not a upper echelon team. They put some good pieces together to get them over the hump. But, yeah, you finished strong last year, but that doesn't mean it's going to carry over to this year. Every year's team is a different team. So that remains to be seen. He's not going into an ideal situation. And just to make another analogy, anybody that watched Bryce Young at Alabama with a very strong supporting cast around him saw a guy that played flawless week in and week out every week. And despite his small size, you just looked at him while he played and just said, gosh, dang, guy's just unbelievably accurate, just makes great decisions. And he had games where they had to come from behind. So it's not like they were always in the lead. And yet he goes to the NFL on a struggling team, and he struggled mightily. He didn't look anything like the player that you saw at Alabama. So I think the situation that these young guys get in, if it's not ideal, it's going to be really hard for them to flourish. Look at Justin Herbert. Has great outside receivers, has a lot of studs on defense to bail him out, and yet them as a football team still struggle, and he hasn't gotten to where he wanted to be. And I don't think there's anybody in the league that wouldn't want to coach that guy with all his physical skills. That's who Drake May reminds me of more than anybody. That tall, long, lean body style, the arm strength to really get the ball deep, the movement skills in the pocket to avoid traffic and buy time, the play breaks down. But to me, he'd be the best of the three. I haven't finished my film evaluation of Jaden Daniels. I promise you that I would. But a young man that's surrounded with a lot of talent, and you love his athletic ability and his whippet arm. Right now, that's the way I'm going to rank them, and we'll see if it changes in the next weeks to come.
Really quick, Steve, because I'm up against a break. J.J. McCarthy is getting a lot of love and is moving up. Like, there's some mock drafts that have him going number two overall to Washington. So really quickly, your thoughts on J.J. McCarthy and why you think he's moving up the draft board.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that you're 28-1, that you're mature, that you're injury-free, that you have an NFL body, and you have a strong arm. But there's another young man that played with a great supporting cast. I bet you they have 17, 18 players that are drafted off that football team. And you and I have talked about this many times. Major college football is the most unlevel playing field in American sports. You know, Vanderbilt's in the SEC, and they can play Alabama 100 times, and they're going to lose 100 times. So, you know, there's a lot of games that Michigan play that are not really competitive. The one thing watching him on tape, and I haven't finished that film evaluation yet either, is too many flat balls. Too many fast balls and not enough touch. And guys can develop that, but coming out of the gate, if you're drafted second overall, they're putting you in the starting lineup, and you can't throw that ball flat through the linebackers. You got to throw it over the linebacker and under the safety. And that young man, for me, on what I've watched so far, needs to develop a lot more touch. Not unlike Will Levis last year from Kentucky, same type of player for me, too many fastballs, not enough touch. And to that young man's credit, he seemed to do pretty good with Tennessee. So it's not like you can't learn that as a player and develop it as a player, but that also takes time. So not finished on J.J. yet or Jaden, but the other two young men, I feel pretty confident about what I've seen on tape.
Steve Verderosa joining us here, former Giants scout, attended the Drake May Pro Day, so thought it'd be great for him to visit with us today and give us his assessment. Steve, thank you so much. Happy Easter to you and yours, my friend.
You too. Have a great day.
You got it. We'll kick off Hour 3 next here on 98.7 ESPN.